I'll try that again. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our baptismal service. It's a great delight to have been asked to speak. And we're going to do the best speaking we're going to do is we're going to read and look in the Bible. We're going to read in Luke chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23. If someone could flick that. Oh, there's no light here. That's fine. Let me get my glasses on. Right, we just want to read one portion. And that is found in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to read at verse 32. Verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors laid with Jesus to be put to death. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one in the right hand and the other in the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which was railed on him, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou now fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And they said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Truly I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts, and returned. And all his acquaintance and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding those things. Luke chapter 23. You know, I love Easter. When I was a child, I loved Easter for the Easter eggs. And I know some children, their parents have accused them of feeding them their Easter eggs this afternoon. We'll not mention any names. I used to love Easter for the Easter holidays, but I love Easter especially for the Easter story, because we're going to consider what the Bible says, not what I say, not what Stuart says or anybody else says. We're going to read what the Bible says and see if we can learn today what is so important about the Easter story, that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come to this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. No man like him on all the earth. When the people heard him, they said, This man speaks with authority. This man speaks with power. This man's not like their religious rulers. They just mumbo jumbo. But this man speaks with authority. There's none like Jesus on all the earth. But this is not what the Easter story is. Yes, the Bible says he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But that's not what Easter's about. Easter's about the Lord Jesus Christ going to a cross. Easter's about the Lord Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. Easter's about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Dying not at the hands of men. He said, It is finished. He bowed his head. He dismissed his spirit and he went into death. But you know, death couldn't keep the Lord Jesus, because he was the Son of God. He was the only one who was holy, harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. And here he is, he's on the cross, and he's suffering, and he's bleeding, and he's dying. And he commands his spirit into his Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gives up the ghost. And he's buried. And the religious leader says, we remember that he said he would rise again the third day. We remember that imposter said this, that, and the other. And they went and secured the tomb. Not a grave like what this looks like, but a tomb. A cave hewn out of rock. And they put a guard around there. And 3 days later, they went to anoint the Lord Jesus' body with spices, as they did in the land of Israel. But the stone was rolled away. The grave was opened. And there was nobody in. Jesus had risen again from the dead. Jesus is alive. And that is the Easter story. Jesus lives. And he's able to save. And he's ready to save. And he's mighty to save those that come to God through him. Now, if you were a betting man, I don't think there's any betting men in here, but you would look at all the people in Luke chapter 23. You would look at Pilate. You would look at King Herod. You would look at the soldiers. You would look at the religious people. You would look at the common people, just like you and me. And you say, out of all these people, who do you think's going to have their sins forgiven today? Out of all these people, who do you think's going to get saved today? Out of all these people, who's God going to speak into their life? And here he is, a malefactor. Now I wish, well maybe you don't, but looking back, I wish I'd stuck in at school. But I see a school teacher here, so I'm not going to say very much. I wish I'd stuck in at school. A malefactor. What in the world is a malefactor? There was two malefactors crucified with the Lord Jesus. A malefactor is made up of two words. Mal is evil. And factor is where we get the word factory from. This man was bad. This man was good at being bad. This man was a terrible man. I want to think of his faults today. I want to think of his fear today. I want to think of his faith today. And I want to think of his future. You know, when Luke and Joe and Christy became a Christian, their life only started. They got new life in them. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and everything becomes new. Their life started the day and the hour that they became a Christian. And if you're a Christian, that's when your new life started. When I was growing up in a very strict church over in Northern Ireland, we just assumed that, well, you became a Christian, and you just lived a boring old life, and you died, and you went straight to heaven. But my friend, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life and they'll never perish. If any man come to me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Lord wants you to have life today. If you don't have life, you can have it in Christ. That's why he died. That's why he was buried. And that's why he rose again. I want to think of this man and all his faults. He had broken the law. He was found guilty. He was guilty as charged, and that law says you're guilty and you will die. I looked up, and Dr. Google isn't always to be believed. Who did the Romans crucify? And Dr. Google says he crucified the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst. And here's this malefactor, for want of a better word. That's what the Bible calls him, and that's good enough for me. Here he is, and he's guilty. Here he is, he's found guilty in the law of the land. Here he is, and he's condemned to die. And they laid him outside Jerusalem's walls and they crucified him. Guilty as charged. And you know, my friends, the Bible tells me that we're all the same. You're no better than me and you're no worse than me. The Bible tells us we're all born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. And before God, we're guilty. We were born in sin. We were born in iniquity and we're on the downward path. My friend, we have faults just like this poor malefactor had. And this man's condemned to die. And if we don't get to the cross, if we don't believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, if we don't get there, we will live and die. And like this man's friend, without Christ, to a lost eternity. But my friend, Jesus brings life. Jesus gives everlasting life. This man had broken the law. This man was guilty. And this man was going to die for his. So that's his faults. But you know, I don't know what you would be afraid of. But this man was afraid to die. This man was afraid to die. Now there's many phobias we have. And some people laugh at what you're afraid of and this, that, and the other. But the greatest fear of this man was, "Dost not thou fear God? For we indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man has done nothing amiss. We deserve to die." Dost not thou fear God? Wouldn't it be a great service? Wouldn't it be a great meeting if we thought for a minute about how awesome God was? About how holy God was. In heaven, he looks down and know what he says? The thought of foolishness is sin. And how many stupid thoughts go in your head and mine every day? The thought of foolishness is sin. God in heaven looks down and he sees us as sinners. God in heaven sees us dead towards him, heading towards a lost eternity. And God in heaven is moved. And that's the Easter story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a rubbish message if it was do this, do that, and do the other. It's all done on the cross. Jesus did it all on the cross. Here's a man, he's going to die, and he doesn't want to meet God because he's guilty before God, and he knows that God will condemn him to a lost eternity. And what's he do? He looks over to Jesus. He sees that title. He's heard what they've said. If thou be the Christ, what's Christ? That's the chosen of God. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. What does Jesus mean? It means Savior. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, is the title that they put on his cross. He looks and sees Jesus. But you know, my friends, I read this chapter deliberately, not to use up time. But it says when Jesus was crucified, what did he say? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus knew exactly what he was doing on the cross. Jesus knew all the sufferings that he was going to go through on the cross, and he was willing to do that. And he was willing to do that for you. And he was willing to do that that you could be forgiven and cleansed. This man had faith. What could this man do to save himself? Answers, please, on a postcard. Nothing. He could do nothing to save himself. He couldn't be anything. He couldn't give anything. He couldn't promise anything. He couldn't turn over a new leaf. He was dying. He was on the brink of a lost eternity, and he couldn't do one single sausage to save himself. He was dying. Helpless on the way to lost eternity. And he looks and sees Christ. Christ dying for sin. Christ dying for his sins. And he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now here's a question for you. If you were really burdened about your sin this afternoon, if you were really burdened down that before a holy God you're guilty, before a holy God you deserve to die, before a holy God you deserve everything that's coming to you, and you cried out for mercy, "Lord, save me," what do you think would happen? Do you think he would save you? Do you think he could save you? My friend, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This man had faith, but hear the promise of Jesus. "Truly I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This salvation that the Lord Jesus brought, this salvation that he paid for on the cross, it's all about life. It's all about new life, new direction, new desires. Are you ready for a change in your life this afternoon? We love the fact that you've come. We love the fact that you're listening. But what about it, friends? Are you ready to meet God? This man has a future. "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." And out of all those people that heard the Lord Jesus, out of all those people that saw the Lord Jesus that day, and you know it was a horrible sight. It was a brutal sight. It was a bloody sight. When they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a crown of thorns in his head. The beard was plucked off his face. They spat on him, the Son of God. They took a crown, they took a whip, and they beat his back until it was like a ploughed field. They took him outside Jerusalem's walls, and they nailed him by the hands and feet. My Bible tells me in Isaiah 52, his face was unrecognizable as a man. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the gospel message, that Christ has died for sin. Christ has died for sinners. Christ has died for you. And he was buried and he rose again the third day. Jesus is alive. Jesus is able to save. Jesus is ready to save if you will come to him this afternoon. Thank you very much.
So, yeah. I would like to turn just a couple of verses in the book of Acts, please. Normally at a baptism, I would read from Acts 8, which is a baptism chapter, but I want to read from Acts chapter 12, and I won't speak for too long. Promise, Acts 12. And verse number 1 of Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions, that's four groups of four soldiers, 16 soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Cast thy garment upon thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel, a young woman, came to hearken named Rhoda. And we do ask God to bless his word to us this afternoon. What's that got to do with baptism? Nothing, absolutely nothing. But what it does have to do with is Easter. It's the only passage in the Old English translation that actually mentions Easter. And so this chapter is set exactly the same time as we are at this afternoon. It's a chapter about Easter. It's also a chapter about two brothers. It's also a chapter about a young woman. And it's also a chapter about living in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a chapter about living in the power of Easter, in the light of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So this is a tremendously interesting chapter. A chapter about two brothers. A chapter about a young woman. A chapter about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and a chapter about living in the light of the power of that resurrection. Now, the background, of course, that's been painted here in chapter 12, it's a bit like those backgrounds that maybe you noticed if you ever went to theatres or pantomimes in years gone by, where they painted a kind of scene at the back. And the background scene in Acts 12 is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter has been put in prison for that, for preaching Christ and the resurrection. You read about that in Acts chapter 4 and other passages of Acts of the Apostles. He believed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to change lives. He believed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to make a difference. He believed it, he preached it, and he was willing to die for it. There was absolute certainty in the mind of Peter that the Lord Jesus Christ was real, that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and that the Lord Jesus Christ raised again from the dead. It's well been said over the years that a person will die for a lie, but he will not die for something he knows to be a lie. That would be incredibly foolish, and Peter was willing to stake everything on that. So here he is in prison, and he's in prison at Easter. And he's there guarded between some soldiers. I don't think the circumstances that he was in would be lost in Peter, because Peter had been there before. In fact, he was in exactly the same position at the same time, in the same place, in the same circumstances as the Lord Jesus. Except the last time he had done a runner. He'd run away from the Lord Jesus. He had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps in those kind of circumstances, he might be tempted to look at his own position and think, maybe this is payback time. Or maybe the word that some people use, even the new covenant who don't know much about God, karma. Have you heard of that word? It's a silly word, a really silly word. It doesn't make any sense. But maybe he thought that somehow God was getting his own back. He had denied the Lord Jesus. He had blasphemed the Lord Jesus. And now he was in the same position as the Lord Jesus, facing the same fate as the Lord Jesus. But you know, that's not how God works. Definitely not. We've got a God that's far bigger than just a God that gives you what you deserve. We've got a God who's able to give you what you don't deserve. That's what God calls grace. He's a God who's able to give us a second chance, a second opportunity. He's a God who's able to raise us up, a God who's able to give us life. And Peter here in Acts chapter 12, he is released from prison. What a wonderful chapter it is. It's a chapter about a man who's freed from his chains. It's a chapter about a man who's given another opportunity to live. And it's a chapter about a man who's given another opportunity to serve. Now, that is what baptism's about, believe it or not. Seems a bit of a tenuous connection, but that's exactly what baptism's about. It's about chains that fall off. Verse 6 of Acts 12, two chains and keepers before the door, and the chains fell off in verse 7. He's put on a new garment, he's given a new look in verse 8, and he's called to follow. And that's what baptism's about. It's about chains that fall off, that we're free to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, free to live for him. And if we've come to trust him like the thief on the cross that we've heard about, then that makes a difference and we have the power to live for him. It's about the power to follow the Lord Jesus and the challenge to follow the Lord Jesus. I'm going to turn just briefly to a more traditional passage in baptism. It's Romans chapter 6, maybe one of the greatest passages really on the truth behind baptism. Here's what baptism means in the writings of the Apostle Paul, Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, so also in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism is a picture of something that God does in our heart through faith in the Lord Jesus. It's a picture of being dead to the old life and the power no longer to live in the power of the chains of sin, those chains that would have held us back to be totally ineffective. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to break those chains. It's a picture of being able to follow the Lord Jesus and a picture of being able to live again in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tremendously challenging picture. And of course, it's a picture that connects us today in 2022, back over 2,000 years to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have a Saviour who not only saves, but he lives, and he is able to save forever all that come to him by faith. Now, I'm just going to ask Craig, and I don't think we've made an order, have we? But we'll invite Christy first. We'll pick on you, Christy, first. I'm going to ask you to come up to the baptismal tank, and we'll maybe just take the order that you're seated in, Christy, and then Luke, and then Joe. And as I mentioned at the beginning, they'll go down into the tank, and as Christy comes up, Luke and Joe comes up, if we can sing
chorus that is there on the screen up from the video.
And if the children want to come down, do feel free to come down. Just don't fall in. Do not like that.
Christy, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
On your own profession of faith and at your own request, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
On your own profession of faith and at your own request, and I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Paul Gillespie, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
On your own profession of faith and at your own request, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
And if the children want to come down, do feel free to come down. Just don't fall in. Don't have a lifeguard.
Christy, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
On your own profession of faith and at your own request, I now baptise you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
From the grave he arose with a mighty... Help us clear up the food that's there. Reminder too that Sundays at 3 o'clock in the hall, there is a regular service. It's not always a baptismal service, but there is a service here at 3 o'clock. You'd be very welcome to come along. And the recording of the baptism will also be on the website, graceinchrist.org. So if you've got friends or family that haven't managed to come along, then it will be on the website probably by tomorrow, graceinchrist.org. Let's just ask for God's blessing. Our Father, we do come into thy presence again this afternoon. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for the resurrection power of Christ. And we give thanks, our Father, that we can look back at Calvary and remember a Saviour who loved us and who died for us. One, our Father, who paid the price. We remember, our Father, that that was and is part of the eternal plan and purpose of God, that there would be one who would bear away the sin of the world. And we give thanks, our Father, for the power and knowing by faith, the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And we think, our Father, of the choice that was made there by the thief on the cross. And we pray, Father, that we too might make that choice. And we pray, our Father, that we might take Christ seriously and that we might take God seriously. We might take eternity seriously. We might take heaven and hell seriously. And we pray, Father, that thou would really bless the seed sown. We thank thee, our Father, for Christy and for Luke and for Joe. We commit them to you. We pray, Father, for blessing upon them. We ask, our Father, that they might live out their Christian life in the power of the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus, that they might have power to live for thee and to walk for thee, and that they might have power, our Father, to serve thee and freedom from sin. We do just, our Father, commit them to thee for blessing, as we would just ask, our Father, for thy presence and power to be with them. And we thank thee, our Father, for friends and family that have joined with us. We do just commit them to thee too, Father, and we pray, our Father, for them. We thank thee for this food. We acknowledge that it comes from thee as we offer thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think they're getting excited in the kitchen by the sound of it, aren't they? Yes. Sometimes you talk louder when you get more and more excited. Some people do anyway. So good. Well, thanks very much for being with us. It's been good to have Luke and Christy and Joe. Thanks for friends and family coming as well. And special thanks to Ian, who's come down all the way from Paisley to play for us. If you wonder what the connection with Ian is, I went to university and studied medicine with Ian. And if you've heard his organ playing, I'm sure you'll wonder, as I have always wondered, why he didn't just stick to the organ. But there you go. So it's good. Thanks very much, Ian. It's been really good to have you. I do stay...